If you see someone does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible so we can read along. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. And let's read, shall we? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the sinful nature of man. The sinful nature of man. Dear God, we do thank you, Lord, for loving us. And I want to thank you, dear God, for your mercy, for your long-suffering, for your patience. Thank you, dear God, for salvation that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for church and the folks that are here, a good crowd this morning. I pray that you bless them for their faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that you bless the junior church and those who are sick, Lord, we mentioned, and those who are working, those who are traveling, those who are away. I pray that you watch over the church family and bless them, be good to them, be with them, Lord. Now, dear God, help us to direct our thoughts this morning to thy word and this truth about how sinful man really is. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse number 3, Paul's writing, and he says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Too often we are guilty of this verse. We think too highly of ourselves. We think we're too smart. We think we know it all or more than others. We boast. We glory in our own righteousness, knowledge, our own smarts, our own intelligence. And God warns us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. So before we start, I want to get a good picture of what God says man is like. Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51, let's turn there. We're going to turn some scriptures. I may have mentioned a few of these verses in the adult Bible study, but nonetheless, we're going to turn there to this one or two verses that we mentioned this morning. Psalm 51, verse number 3. The Bible says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He says in verse number 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, there's a big argument with atheists and fools that don't believe in God and those who believe the word of God. There's a big divide, a big chasm between people who believe that man is not sinful and God who says we were conceived in sin. So there's no way you can bridge the gap between those two. One person says, oh, no, we're not sinners. It's just, you know, we're evolved from tadpoles or monkeys or orangutans or whatever. You know, we came up from the sea. And then you have God who says here that we were conceived in sin. This is the right picture that God says of mankind and his sinfulness. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Some of these may be familiar, some of them not. Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. The Bible says, as it is written, that's written in the book of Psalms, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You read that? Well, this is what God says, that how we ought to think. Paul writes, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Well, this is how you and I ought to think about who we are. Because you and I may do some good things, you think that translates into us being good. And too often people have the picture, the idea, oh, those church people, they're just too good. When the truth of the matter is that all of us in this room ought to realize that we're nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God, worse off than the people who don't come to this church. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're good. And just because you're saved doesn't mean you're righteous. These words are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. He says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that understand it. They're all going out of the way. Saved or lost. I'm telling you, it's only by the grace of God that we're saved. It's only by the grace of God we're in church. It's only by the grace of God that we have our sense to do anything that's decent and right. Not because we are doing it, but because we have yielded ourselves as sinful flesh to God and allowing God to use us as a vessel, as a channel for his purposes. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes everybody. We use these for salvation for lost people, but I got news for you. These verses apply to even saved people, ladies and gentlemen. All right, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 19. Verse number 17. Well, verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Here's verse number 17. Here's Jesus' answer. And he said to him, why callest thou me good? Well, because he is good, because he's God. But Jesus put him on the side. Well, so why you call me good? Watch this. There is none good but one, that is who? God. That's what Jesus' answer was to this man who said, good master. And he said, well, why you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is God, and that's why he's good. The same thing is found in Mark 10, verse number 18. You see, Genesis 8:21 says, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. In Genesis 50:20, the brothers, Joseph's brothers, thought evil. These are the 12 founding fathers of Israel. Of the state of Israel, the 12 tribes, they thought evil. In Exodus 32, the Lord repented of the evil he thought to do unto his people. Why would God do evil? Because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. When God's people do evil, then God repays us with evil. In Numbers 13:45, God says this evil congregation. In Deuteronomy 15, verse 9, Deuteronomy 28, 54, and 56, he talks about the eye being evil towards your brother, your neighbor. In 1 Samuel 12, verse number 19, he says, we have added unto all our sins this evil. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 6, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, did evil. Sometimes you come to church, you read your Bibles, and we sing these songs, and for some reason, we think that we're above evil. We think we've reached a level somehow that sin or transgression or faults or sins or evil or wickedness are not no longer with us because we're saved now. Oh no, they apply to everybody. They apply to everybody. And how you yield yourself is how you're going to live. You can live a good life or you can live an evil life, a wicked life. Saved or lost. Psalm 26, verse 5, says the congregation of evildoers. Proverbs 5:14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation. You know, we come to church here, and it's a pretty good crowd this morning for a January, to be honest with you. But there's some people in every congregation, in every assembly probably, that are almost in the midst of all evil in the midst of the congregation. There's some people in here this morning, they're just one decision away, either from living for God or living for yourself and ruining your life and your testimony. In the middle of the congregation, in the midst of the assembly, God says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation. Proverbs 30, verse number 32, they thought evil. Isaiah 5:20, the people today are calling evil good and good evil. They're switching the words. They're switching the laws. They're switching doctrines. And things that were once good are now called evil. And things that were once evil, which are still evil, people are calling good now. In Jeremiah 7:24, the imagination of their evil heart. Jeremiah 11:8, their evil heart. Jeremiah 13:10, this evil people. Jeremiah 16:12 and Jeremiah 18:12, the imagination of this evil heart. Jeremiah 24, verses 3 and 8 talk about good, very good, evil, and very evil figs likened to people. Zechariah 7:10, that they imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Zechariah 8:17, let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. Why would God say that? Because we're capable of thinking evil and committing evil. Jesus mentioned in Matthew 6:23 about an evil eye. Turn to Matthew 7, please. Matthew chapter number 7. I mean, you ought to get the right picture of who we really are, the sinful nature of mankind. We gloss it over too much. You think because you're saved now, you know, everything's okay. No, no. Maybe you're going to go to heaven when you die. That's good. But that doesn't mean now everything's going to be perfect in your life unless you yield, and until you yield your life to God to do that which is pleasing in his sight. Matthew chapter number 7. Verse number 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said, Pastor, I can't. You don't understand who I am. You don't understand how bad I live. You don't understand what the things I've done. You know what? God's been waiting just for you. God's fed up with the self-righteous, pharisaical attitude of people who are saved, thinking that they're too good for God and too good for everybody else. They have a big ego. They're proud. They're know-it-alls. They criticize other people. If you really see yourself as God sees you, then God can use you. If you're willing to be yielded to God. Look what he says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now watch what he says in verse 11. If ye then, being evil, he's talking to his disciples, ladies and gentlemen. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We don't see ourselves as sinful or wicked. We see ourselves as saved. And that's good that we're saved. That's good. But until you die, you're still going to carry this sin flesh around to the grave. And it's going to hinder your walk with God. And it's going to fight you all along the way. It doesn't want to get out of bed. It doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to read the Bible, doesn't want to come to church, doesn't want to obey God. The sin is going to fight you. So you have to, through your spirit, yield your body to God, as we started in Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. And when you yield your member and your body, then God can use you. Even though we're sinful and wicked and evil, God will still use us. Amen. You realize, I'm only preaching because of the grace of God. You know, you say, well, Pastor, you're just so good. You don't know me. Sit down and talk to my wife for about 5 to 10 minutes, and if she's honest with you, she'll tell you exactly who I really am. Yeah. So you're just so nice, and you're so kind. Oh, you're just so good. No, no, not really. No. I'm trying to do the best I can to be like that. I'm trying to be the best I can to yield myself to that, but I know myself a little bit, and I know how bad I really am. So when somebody criticizes me for something I've done or something I said, the honest truth is they're right. That's only the tip of the iceberg, ladies and gentlemen. And that's who we are. We have got just to be willing to admit that, as we said in the morning service, in the adult Bible study. So Jesus said, if ye then being evil, and he said the same thing in Luke chapter number 11, verse 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So twice in Matthew and in Luke, he says, ye who are evil know how to do good or give good. That's the basic base foundation of how we ought to think. We are sinful, wicked, and evil, but we have the ability to do good. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of us are going out of the way. I am not going to go to heaven because I'm good. I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm a pastor or I go to church or I've been baptized. I'm going to go to heaven because I found out one day I was a sinner deserving hell for all eternity to pay for my sins with no escape. And that's why I pled for mercy and asked Jesus Christ to save my soul from hell. That's the only reason I'm going to go to heaven. And that's the only reason why anyone's going to go to heaven, because they ask God for mercy to forgive them. It is that simple. When your mind and your thinking has moved away how sinful and wicked you are, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be a pharisaical Baptist, a pharisaical religious person walking around comparing yourself to everybody who is not wise. And you can be critical of other people who are not up to your snuff, up to your level, what you think is Christianity. Amen. Matthew chapter number 12. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being what?
Evil.
Being evil, speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You don't realize how evil. You know the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, don't you? The heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. So, well, that's the right picture that God has about us. And Paul says not to think yourself more highly than what he ought to think, but think soberly. Well, the best way to think about how you are about yourself is to know what God says about the human being, about the person, about the individual. So they got such a good heart. That's contrary to Scripture. That's contrary to what God says. You think because they act good or do good, you think they are good. Oh, contrary to what God says. You and I have the ability to do evil. You and I have the ability to do wickedness. And you and I have the ability to sin. But you and I also have the ability to yield ourselves to God and live for God, carrying around this wicked, sinful flesh. You and I still have the ability and the choice to yield ourselves and see God do great things through us, even though we're sinful and wicked and wretched. Are you yielding your members, your body, to sinfulness? Or are you yielding to godliness? Matthew chapter 12, verse number 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That's what everybody wants today. I want a sign. God, give me a sign. When you ask for that, God says you're evil and adulterous. Oh, I want to hear these voices. I want to see a dream. I want to see a vision. I want to see a sign from God somewhere. Jesus Christ himself said you're evil. You know why? Because we ought to live by faith, he says. By faith of what he said we are. I'm not looking for no sign. Matthew 15, verse 27. Jesus called the woman. Let's turn it. We're only a couple chapters away. Matthew 15. This is a Greek woman from Syrophoenicia, I believe it is. And Jesus calls her a dog. Can you imagine being called a dog? Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. Now, the other gospel calls, she's Greek, okay, but in verse number 23, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not, he's talking to her now, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, God's chosen people. who has now rejected him. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Can you imagine God, Jesus Christ, calling you a dog? Now, you may not understand that in American society because everybody worships dogs and cats today in America. But you get the right kind of perspective and right kind of picture of what cats and dogs are for and like in China somewhere or Korea or Thailand or somewhere in the East where they cook them and eat them. Today, everybody sleeps with their dogs and worships their dogs. But there's nothing good in the Bible about dogs. Nothing. And Jesus is calling this woman a dog. Now, if there's any person you would think who had a right to get mad at Jesus Christ or God for calling them a dog, it would be this woman. And she says, verse 27, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Wow, what an answer. She agreed with Jesus Christ, I'm nothing but a dog. What's your perspective of yourself? Too high of yourself? Too big of an ego? Too much pride? Too easily offended? Then Jesus answered and said to her, verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I believe one of the reasons we don't get our prayers answered because we're too easily offended and hurt because of what somebody said or even what God said about us. Do you know what the Bible says about Greeks? It's not very flattering at all. The only good thing I've ever read about Greeks in the Bible is some of them got saved. They're slow bellies. They're liars. I mean, Alexander the Great man is one of the most wicked men that ever lived. And he's mentioned, not by name, but he's mentioned in the Bible. I mean, you talk about the philosophers and the sodomites and the Greek philosophy and the history. But God's right. God is right. Hey, why don't you just acknowledge what God says is right? We put too many people up on a platform, on a pedestal rather. We put them up high and we think, oh, we ought to worship that person. How about worshiping Jesus Christ? Because everybody's going to let you down sooner or later. The preacher, the deacon, Sunday school teachers, everybody, sooner or later, everybody is going to let you down. And when you get hurt or offended at that, you're going to say, oh, I can't believe it. Well, that's because you should have read the Bible and see what God says man is like. How sinful man is, how evil man is, how wicked man is, and the flesh that we wear. Romans chapter 7, turn there, please. Romans chapter number 7. Most people do not have the right picture of how sinful man really is. And that's why people don't get saved. They don't want to admit they're a sinner. And that's why people don't want to get right with God because they don't want to admit they're wrong. You know, about 10 years ago, I found out that I was wrong about something, but I wasn't wrong. I was right, and that's why I was wrong, because I thought I was wrong, but I was really right. That's how difficult it is. If you follow that, that's how difficult it is for people to acknowledge that they've ever been wrong about anything. Because nobody wants to admit, usually, that, oh, I'm wrong. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that was wrong. I didn't realize I was wrong. One of the healthiest things that you'll ever do in your life is admit when you're wrong, when you have sinned, when you made a mistake, when you're at fault. Just come clean. But you know, we try to color it up the best possible way so that our pride and our ego is not hurt. Then we cry, we whine, we're embarrassed, we sulk, you know. We hide ourselves away because we're embarrassed or ashamed. Why? Just admit that you messed up, you made a mistake, you sinned, and move on and live the rest of your life for God, ladies and gentlemen. Romans chapter number 7, probably, and I believe this, the greatest Christian in the New Testament, wrote more Bible than anyone else, Romans chapter number 7, the Apostle Paul. All of Asia heard the gospel within the matter of 2 years because of the Apostle Paul. No telecommunications, no cell phone, no computer, no iPhone, no inventions, no television, no radio, no satellites, no nothing. But all of Asia heard the word of God in 2 years from the man that we're about to read about, the Apostle Paul. And here's what Paul says about himself, verse number 12. Romans 7, verse number 12. Wherefore the law is holy, that's God's word, and the commandment holy, that's the commandments of God, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. If you didn't follow that, pay attention. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's your flesh, that's your body. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Do you ever do something that you hate because you're either addicted to it, you know you shouldn't do it, but you do it anyway, and you hate yourself for it, and you hate doing it? Welcome to the Apostle Paul's life. So as you're reading what he says. He says, what I hate, that do I. If then, verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good, because God knows what he's talking about when he says about how sinful man really is. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. See, when you're saved, the soul is separated from the flesh. The soul is spotless, cannot sin, the Bible says in 1 John. But the flesh is sinful that you and I have to carry with us until the day we drop dead. So in my flesh, he says, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. That means you have a choice right now in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, to do whatever you want to do. You have a free will. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Don't you wish you could do good and you have trouble doing it? Don't you wish you could live for God and you're having trouble doing it? Well, I got news for you. You can. Because this man did. And he's talking about the battle he had inside with the flesh that he had to carry that was tempting him, that was a stumbling block, that he asked God three times to take this thorn in the flesh away from him. He asked thrice. And God said, no, no, my grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. So if you yield yourself to God, even though you're carrying the sinful flesh, you can see great victories in your life through Jesus Christ and him alone. Not you doing it, but you allowing God to do it. That's why Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Of course, we want to cut out the last part, so I can do all things. No, 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 no. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Verse number 20. Now, if I do that I would not, like, friends, if you do things that you don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's why some people, they don't understand. They say, well, how can I be saved and have these thoughts? Well, welcome to the crowd. Welcome to the club. Anybody who hasn't thought that way is not being honest with you. That's why Hebrews chapter number 3, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Amen. The only reason you're here is because, by the grace of God, you're still here. He said, I can't believe so-and-so left. I can't believe so-and-so did that. I can't believe they departed and left God and left our church. Well, that's because you don't know what God says. It's only by the grace of God that you're living. It's only by the grace of God that you're not in jail or prison. It's only by the grace of God that you're not dead. It's only by the grace of God that you're doing something for God. Not because you're so good. If you understand this, you can live the rest of your life yielded to God and see great things from God, ladies and gentlemen. You can see prayers answered. You can see the power of God in your life. If you just believe this, don't allow Satan to use your sinfulness and your wickedness and your flesh to convince you not to yield yourself to God, because he doesn't want you to live for God. Amen. So, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things I've done. Well, God's been waiting for you. God's been waiting for you. Keep reading here. Romans 7, verse 22. Now, evil is present with me, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another man. I'm sorry, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So the soul that is saved is fighting the flesh that is sinful. That's why the flesh wants to stay in bed and doesn't want to go to work and get a job. They're lazy. That's why the flesh doesn't want to read the Bible or pray. That's why the flesh doesn't want to come to church. The flesh doesn't want to go soul winning. The flesh doesn't want to fight against itself. So you have to, in your mind, win the battle. Said, I have this habit. I have this addiction. I have this thing that I've learned, and I've done all these things. But you know what? I'm yielding myself to God right now. So the same vessel that was yielded to unrighteousness that brought forth death can now be yielded to righteousness and bring forth life. Before you were lost, you yielded yourselves, your members, to unrighteousness that brought forth death. And now we have the opportunity now to yield our members to righteousness to bring forth life. Amen. Verse 24, watch this. Oh, wretched man that I am. He's not criticizing anybody else. He's examining himself, as we said this morning, amen. He's looking inwardly. Do you think of yourself how bad you are, how wretched you are? Or are you, do you have that Catholic thinking that you're not that bad? You have that Protestant thinking that we're pretty good. Well, you know what God said? Paul writes, oh, wretched man that I am. This is the same man that wrote more New Testament than anyone else. This is the same man that 2 years all of Asia heard the word of God because he saw himself as he really is in light of Scripture. And that's why God was able to use him. Amen. You ever wonder how people think all the time, how in the world is God using that church over there, all those people there? People come in, they look. You can't imagine the things that said to people about the membership of our church. You know? You got a scary crowd there, Pastor, somebody said years ago. It's like a ragtag team, you know? You know what it is? Just a bunch of people now who just want to yield to God. Oh, we may not have the highest IQs. We may not have the best jobs. We may not have the best houses. We may not drive the best cars. But you know what we can do? We can yield our bodies to God and do what's right, even though we've messed up in the past. Amen. So how do you do what you're doing? Just yield yourself to God. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So when you give in to your flesh, you're going to go downhill, man. Your anger, your jealousy, your envy, you know, your covetousness. Or you serve the law of God with your mind, you want to live God, then you're going to force your flesh to come to 6:12, even though you don't feel like it sometimes. Amen. You're going to force your flesh to get out of bed in the morning and go to work sometimes, or most times or all times. You're going to force your flesh. The mind's going to say, no, we're going. We're going. And then when you do that, take your Bible, turn to Ezra chapter number 9, please. When you do that and you yield, like in Acts 10:38, they went about doing good. Ezra, chapter number 9, please. In Acts 11:24, he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. In Romans 14:16, your good is evil spoken of. Jesus said in Matthew 12, he said, make the tree good. In Matthew 13:38, he said, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Ezra, chapter number 9. In Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Mark 4, verses 8 and 20, he says, the heart is the good ground that receives the word of God. So here's what happens. When you yield yourself to God, you can do good and great things for God. And people will look at you like you're good. But you better be careful and give God the glory. And say, no, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a wretched sinner saved by the grace of God. But people will look at you and say, wow, you got a good heart, or you're good, or look at the good things you're doing. And say, no, it's only by God's grace. It's only by God's grace. Amen. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one, Jesus said. Ezra, chapter number 9. You do believe the Bible, don't you? Ezra chapter number 9, verse number 13. And after all this has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this. I think about America when I read that. I can't believe that Hillary didn't win. I really can't believe it. Because you know what we deserve? America deserves persecution, man. To pay for all our sins, our indifference. We don't care about the word of God. We don't care about souls. We don't care about the house of God. We don't care about the things of God. Yet God has given us a little space of reviving here, a little breathing room. And he says in verse number 13, our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve and has given us such deliverance as this. You know what we deserve? We deserve hell to pay for our sins. And yet we're still living and breathing and able to do something for God. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 130, please. Psalm 130. Psalm 130. We're about done. Psalm 130. The sinful nature of man. Think soberly, ladies and gentlemen. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, as Scripture says. Psalm 130. You think this church has been here for 30 years because we're smart? I don't think so. I've seen better churches close their doors. I've seen better churches go into heresy. I've seen better churches lower their standards, get rid of their King James Bible. You know what? If there's one difference, you know what it is? Just a bunch of people who just yield to do what God wants them to do. We're no better than anybody else. 30 years ago, we started with the King James Bible and winning souls for Jesus Christ. And guess what? 30 years later, that's exactly what we're doing, same thing. Not because we're smarter than anybody. Not because we're educated. Not because we went to college or university. Not because we have degrees and diplomas hanging on our wall. But because we have yielded ourselves as sinners, carrying wretched, wretchful, sinful flesh, yielding to God, reaching others before it's too late. Psalm 130. Verse number 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. What a God. What a God, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He is a merciful God. We'll close with Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. Right after the book of Jeremiah, Lamentations, chapter number 3. Right after Jeremiah is Lamentations, chapter number 3. Paul writes, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Hey, how's your thinking today? You're full of yourself? Hot shot? Young, strong, good looking, beautiful, handsome, smart, intelligent, money making, good job? Full of yourself? You're headed for a downfall. You're headed for destruction. Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. Verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You know why we're still here 30 years later? God's good. Amen. God's grace and God's mercy. You know why you're still living and breathing? Because God's good, God's grace, and God's mercy. You know why you're not in prison, jail, in a hospital, in a funeral parlor, 6 feet under, because God can still use you if you're willing to yield to God. Even how sinful and wicked and wretched we have been or presently are, God is willing to use you if you just yield to Him. It's not complicated. It is not complicated. I can't believe how good God's been to me personally, to my wife, to my children, my grandchildren, and my church. I can't get over it. Because we've gotten less than what we deserve, man. America's gotten less than what she deserves. It's a miracle that we're still alive and breathing. Hey, think soberly and don't think higher of yourself than you ought to think. Thank God that you're saved. Thank God that you're alive. And thank God that God is still willing to use a willing vessel, including you. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I thank you for the day that someone gave me a gospel tract and showed me from the Bible, the book of Romans, how to be saved. I thank you, dear God, that you broke my heart and opened my heart. And I trusted you as my Savior, and I received you as my Savior, my God. And I pray, dear God, that those of us in this room that are not saved, I pray that they would get saved this morning. I pray, dear God, for those who are saved, but for some reason they're allowing their sin, their flesh, their past, their wickedness, their evil intentions to haunt them and bother them and hinder them from yielding to Thee. I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not been baptized after salvation, I pray they'll come forward and get baptized this morning. Whatever the need is, dear God, I pray that you meet it this morning. Thank you for church. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God. You do business with God.